Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea.
Whether cold or warm, winter or summer, it's always good to be together in worship on the Lord's Day. It's so good to see you here today, especially, most especially if you're visiting with us. Know that we're so glad you're here. We're graced and blessed by your very presence. And also, we are thankful for you if you're watching online at home. In your own way, you're a part of this service, and we're thankful for you as well. We live stream our Bible class on Sunday morning, our morning worship service, and also the Sunday evening service. And let me say just a word about the Sunday evening services. We'd love to have you be here with us every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. Because of the cold weather, because it gets dark so early, I know some were not able to be out for the evening service. And remember that we are online, and you can find the service and watch it, and you'd encourage your friends to watch as well and be a part of us in that way if you can. Again, love to have you in person. But if not, at least watch online. We'd like to have you. What we do in the evening services usually is we have a somewhat truncated service, about 45 minutes. And the sermon is usually a combination of Bible and Bible teaching, and also a couple of songs thrown in which accompany the message. Love to have you a part of that service as well. And if you wonder, well, how do I possibly get online to find such a thing? You can talk to Derek, or perhaps Bill Little. Or if you really reach the bottom of the barrel of understanding and can find nobody else to help you, you and I can work it out together, I'm sure, and you can come to me. But believe me, I'm the last resort. We just read a moment ago from Acts chapter 8, the fascinating story of the conversion of an Ethiopian eunuch. He's not the first Gentile convert. That happens with Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. It seems he is a proselyte to the Jewish faith. That's the best understanding we have. But there are some aspects of this story which everybody has to agree on. Number one is that he was interested in what the Bible had to say because he was reading it out loud as he was riding in his chariot. And we know for sure that he needed a little help in understanding what this prophecy was referring to. Now, there are some passages in Scripture which anybody can read for themselves and know that's just the way it is. When the Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill" in the Old Testament, and then restates that in the New Testament by reminding us we shouldn't take the life of someone else, it doesn't take anybody to help us understand what that means. The same is true for stealing or lying or other matters of simple understanding. We don't need much help to understand. But in terms of Bible prophecy, oftentimes, it requires some help. In fact, one time I remember when Jesus, after his resurrection, had his apostles around him. This is in Luke chapter 24. And he opened their minds that they might understand the Scriptures. And what Scriptures were they? Those Scriptures in the law and in the Psalms and in the prophets, which testified of him and had now been fulfilled in him. And he opened their minds, not miraculously, I don't think, but just by way of teaching, that they might understand what those Scriptures meant, what those prophecies meant in terms of their fulfillment. And that's what Philip was doing for the eunuch here in Acts chapter 8. He was reading from the 53rd chapter, as we'd have it in our English Bibles, of the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah, referred to often as the Messianic prophet, because he so often spoke of the Messiah. And this being the most messianic of chapters in the book, chapter 53, quoted so often in the New Testament, referring to Christ. But the Ethiopian man didn't understand, needed some help. And so we know for sure he was reading and interested in what the Bible said. And he was needing some help into coming to a further understanding of what the Bible meant in this part of Isaiah. And so Philip starts right there, begins at that scripture, and preaches to him Jesus. And so we know something else. We know that you can read about Jesus before you get to Matthew. In fact, so much of what you need to know about Jesus is scattered throughout the books of the Old Testament, because they, scores of years and hundreds of years, sometimes more than 1,000 years before the fact, speak of the coming Christ, his birth at Bethlehem of the Virgin, his growing up and teaching by parables the Word of God, his being crucified for our sins, as Psalm 22 says, hundreds of years before the fact, his hands and feet were to be pierced, just as happened in crucifixion, and his resurrection from the dead. All of these prophecies, over 300 of them in the Old Testament, fulfilled by him perfectly in the pages of the New Testament. And so, no wonder that Philip takes this passage in Isaiah 53 and starts right there and does not just expound upon the chapter, expound upon this part of Isaiah, but within that chapter shows this is the one spoken of. It's not Isaiah talking about himself. It's not Isaiah writing about somebody else besides Jesus. It's precisely about Isaiah and what he has to say about the Christ. Jesus the Christ. And so we know the eunuch is interested in the Bible. He's reading from it. He has need of help to understand further what the text means. And Philip uses that text, and from that text shows Jesus as the fulfilled answer to these prophecies, this one in Isaiah 53 in particular. None of that is in debate. And also, we have to agree that the Ethiopian has a question. Why shouldn't I be? What hinders me from being baptized? And you might think, and I think it along with you, well, where'd that subject come from? I mean, here we are in a chariot reading from Isaiah on a scroll. We're in what we have is our 53rd chapter. And Jesus is being taught as the fulfillment of that passage. And somehow, from something Philip says, has to be, baptism's not in Isaiah 53. Somehow, from something Philip says from that passage and teaching about Jesus, the Ethiopian man has a question that comes to his mind. Why can't I be baptized right now? Now, that question is not a matter of debate either, because it's right there in the text. That's his question. And then what Philip says next is not in debate, because he says, if you believe with all of your heart, you may what? Be baptized. And why? Because you don't baptize an unbeliever. One to be saved has to first believe in the story of Jesus, in the person of Jesus, in the fact of Jesus being the very Son of God, sent as Savior for the world. You have to believe that about Jesus. And as is shown in just a bit later, that faith has to be expressed. The eunuch says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because how else could Philip know that the eunuch has believed except he confesses faith? And just as in the case of all Bible conversions, even those today in 20 and 25, almost 2026, you have people who must believe in Jesus Christ, and then with a penitent heart they confess, yes, I do believe, in a way where those around, and especially the one baptizing, can know that, yes, this is a believer I'm baptizing. And so for all of this, we come to understand, and we have to agree together because it's right there in the text. And also, we shouldn't have any debate about what happens next. When he's reading from Isaiah, doesn't understand it, is taught what it does mean and how that connects in some way from the teaching of Philip to baptism. And didn't Jesus himself say in Mark 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved? Well, of course he did. And so it makes sense that teaching about Jesus would also teach what Jesus taught about how to be saved by Jesus. But regardless of how, baptism was taught enough so the Ethiopian man asks if he can. He's told he can if he believes. He expresses that belief in confession. And then they stop the chariot. Which makes it interesting when you think about it from a personal and practical standpoint. You're riding in a chariot, which is not like a Cadillac of today. On the rough and bumpy and rocky and craggy road of that day. And you're reading along and bumping along and trying to read and keep up with the text. And Philip is teaching him all this time, and the chariot's still moving because they have to stop the chariot for what happens next. And why do they stop the chariot? Well, they stop it because they see some water. And they go off the chariot into the water. They both go into the water, and Philip baptizes the eunuch. Now, again, that's not a matter of debate, because it's right there in the text. Reading a passage from Isaiah he doesn't understand, he's taught It concerns Jesus, and it also concerns the subject of baptism. He wants to be baptized. He believes, confesses his faith. The chariot stops. They go into the water, and the Ethiopian man by Philip is baptized. And he comes up out of the water. Well, Philip has done his work. He goes his own way. And the Ethiopian eunuch goes on his way. But he goes on his way rejoicing. And so the only question for this morning is this one. And it's so easy, even I think I can grasp it. The question is, when did the Ethiopian rejoice? Now, we've got a situation where, as we've seen already, more than once, he's reading. He doesn't understand. He's taught. He believes. He expresses belief. And he's baptized. At what point does he begin rejoicing? And let's retrace our steps and ask the question. Here he is in his chariot. I don't know about you. If you'd be rejoicing in a situation like that, just as a general principle of life or not. I don't know his mood as the story starts. He does seem a bit perplexed when Philip approaches him and asks him about what he's reading. But we know this. It doesn't say he's rejoicing yet, does it? As he's reading along, he's uncertain. Ever read something or watched something on television or maybe a movie or something, and you're halfway into the story and you think, have I been paying attention? I have no idea what's going on. I know the actors, and I know the author, and I think I've been paying attention, and I'm so off the page here, I don't know what's going on. That's kind of how the Ethiopian was in that chariot reading from Isaiah. And so when, from his standpoint, happenstance happens. From Philip's perspective and the Bible perspective, providence enters into the picture. When Philip asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He's honest. And basically says, "Well, no. No idea. Unless somebody helps me, have no idea what's going on here." And so, is he rejoicing at this point? It doesn't sound like rejoicing. It doesn't seem like rejoicing. And so he then learns what the text means. He learns how Isaiah 53 in prophecy was fulfilled so perfectly and sublimely in the person and the life and death, the suffering and sacrifice of Jesus. He comes to understand that. Is he rejoicing yet? Well, if so, it's not mentioned. In fact, he had a problem before, but now it seems as if he has another kind of a problem. Because after hearing about Jesus, he wants to be baptized. And it seems to be a matter of urgency for him. He doesn't say, "You know what? I think when I get back to Ethiopia, when I find the time, if I can clear my schedule, maybe if I find the right clean body of water and I have the time to spare, I might think about perhaps being baptized." Kind of. He doesn't say that. What hinders me from being baptized? He sees some urgency in it. And so that doesn't sound like rejoicing quite yet. He wants to do something he hasn't done yet. He has a need to do something he hasn't yet performed. Well, if you believe, you may. Okay, he must be rejoicing now. And so he speaks out boldly, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." If he's rejoicing now, suggesting the fact he's saved, he is completely converted. He is in the family of God. His sins are no longer a problem. If all of that's true, then why do they stop the chariot when they come to the water? It seems the first opportunity he has to do what he knows he needs to do, he takes it. And they stop the chariot. And they go down into the water. And the eunuch is baptized. Now, before we go any further, let me just remind us of something that's not in the text. We've talked about everything that is. The fact that there's no debate about the fact that this is in the text, because you can read it for yourself. Anybody can read it for themselves. It's obvious to anybody what's in the text. But have you noticed what's not in the text? They're riding along. He's reading from Isaiah. It's about Christ. And Philip preaches Jesus to him. And then says, by the way, if you'll just pray this special prayer, you'll be saved. That's not there. That's not in the text. I just made that up because it's nowhere near what the text says. Or if he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Philip had said to him in return, in response, you're right. I'm thankful you believe. You're saved. Now, someday you need to get yourself baptized. That's not there either. Upon the expression of his faith at the first opportunity, when water is found, the chariot is stopped, and he is baptized. And then, and this is the point of the entire lesson, then and only then and not until then, but exactly then, when he's been baptized. Now, he's known the Scripture. He's understood the Scripture. He, from the Scriptures, learned about Jesus. He believes in Jesus. He's expressed faith in Jesus. And now, as Jesus taught, he's been baptized for the remission of his sins. Then and only then he goes on his way rejoicing. And somebody says, oh, you're teaching a works salvation. No, I'm just teaching what Acts 8 says. In fact, really this morning, I'm not teaching anything. I'm just expounding on what this story says, what it meant to the eunuch, and what it must mean all these years later, because truth is truth whenever it's spoken. Oh, you're saying faith alone is not enough. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying what the text is saying. And after he's expressed his faith, still it's not until after he's baptized that he starts rejoicing. And my point is, if it was true for him, isn't it true for everybody even now? That if you want to rejoice in the Lord with the blessing of salvation, yes, you're going to be interested in what God has to say, as the eunuch was. And you're going to want to know what that text means, especially as it relates to Jesus, as the eunuch was interested. And you're going to have faith in Jesus Christ, as the Scriptures teach. But a part of that, and the crowning part of this in terms of salvation, you're going to decide Jesus taught baptism. The book of Acts shows us time after time people being baptized. I must be baptized for the remission of my sins, because that's what Jesus taught. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the only thing standing between me right now and rejoicing with the blessing of salvation. Again, don't take my word for any of this. At your leisure, take your time. Open up to the passage of this morning's text in Acts chapter 8, the end of that chapter, and read for yourself at any pace you choose the story. And ask yourself that question, when did the eunuch rejoice? And don't we all want to be like him and rejoice in the glory and the blessing of our salvation? I know we do. I know I do. Do you? If you're here this morning and outside of Christ, do what the Ethiopian man did. And if that's happened, but you've left the Lord and need to come back, do what you know you should do. But if you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.